for Jesus on the cross. And so tonight we're going to reflect on that and meditate on that. We're also going to reflect and meditate on what our theme has been for the last these 2 weeks, but also for the season of Lent. That's three words of truth. Tonight's three words are simply, I am He. We'll talk a little bit later about what that means. Please stand for worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, how I love your law. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers. How sweet are your words to my taste. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yet, so often we have despised God's Word and failed to gladly hear and learn it. For this and all our sins, we bow before God and humbly ask His forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins. And trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God gave His Word so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. The Scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for all
sins and your sins,
and and rose again to assure
me and you of our salvation.
Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, you never despise what you have made and always forgive those who turn to you. Create in us such new and contrite hearts that we may truly repent of our sins and obtain your full and gracious pardon. Amen. You may be seated. You may also follow along with the words of the choir with the insert that is within the insert. Thank you. We now turn to God's Word. It's called the Passion History. What it is it's a composite of all the four Gospels of what happened leading up to Jesus' death. This is part one. Please also notice that we'll all get to read the Eternal Word tonight. You'll see a P or an M or a W or an A. We join together now to read the Passion History, this one about Jesus' readiness to suffer and die. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. Jesus said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified."
And the elders of the people assembled in the house of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. They plotted to arrest Jesus and some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or they may be a riot among the people.
Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. Judas asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They counted out for him 30 silver coins. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus sent two of his disciples, Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover."
"Where do you want us to prepare the bread?" they asked.
He replied, "Go into the city. As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
The disciples left, went to the city, and found the things just as Jesus had told them. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them.
In the evening, at the proper hour, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him,
"Lord, are you going to wash my feet?"
Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
"No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet."
Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me."
"Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well."
Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean.
When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you."
Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I am not referring to all of you. I know those who I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture."
"He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me."
"I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." Here ends our Passion reading. Continue with the seasonal response spoken together. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Continue with hymn 714 in the Blue Songbooks, 714, The Lamb.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for tonight is printed there in your bulletin from John chapter 18, verses 3 through 9. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus said, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your servant. Amen. Oh, hi, how you doing? Do you recognize me? You do? All right. It's me. It's Pastor Growth. How's everybody doing? You didn't even know it was me, did you? You did? Yeah, not the greatest disguise, is it? You guys ever see a disguise like that? Glasses and a mustache? Yeah, common disguise. Doesn't do much, though, does it? And yet, ironically, Superman, all he does is put on a pair of glasses, and nobody knows he's Superman. They think he's Clark Kent. But did you know that Jesus did something like that, too? Jesus, in a way, put on a disguise. He hid his true identity. But it was a pretty poor disguise when you take a look at it, because his true identity kept coming out. These miracles he'd perform, the preaching and teaching that he would preach with authority, people would figure it out, and he'd have to go, "Shh, hush, hush, don't tell anybody." He didn't want them saying anything because there were a lot of people out there yet that had no idea why he was there, who he really was, and what that meant. Some people had false ideas about the Messiah. Some people wanted to kill Jesus because he was saying that. But tonight, that is that night, in John 18, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was all done. No more disguises. No more hiding. "Who is it you want?" Jesus asked the mob. "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. So boldly and confidently, he says, "I am he." We'll see that those three words, just three little English words, reveal a lot about Jesus. Jesus takes off the disguise and reveals that he is the Almighty God, the humble servant, and the faithful shepherd. Imagine what it must have been like for Jesus that first night. Right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, dark and quiet, so dark and so quiet that the only sound was his own anguish and prayer to his Father, so dark and so quiet that his disciples fell asleep when they were keeping watch with him. Jesus, waking up his disciples, knew it was time for that to be done too. Because they went out to meet a mob that was about to arrest him. The mob thought that they could, under the cover of night, when it was all quiet, where there were no crowds, arrest Jesus. But Jesus knew. John understates it. He says, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, This wasn't an educated guess. This wasn't Jesus reading the writing on the wall. This was Jesus knew. Because Jesus is true God. He knew all. The dark might have hidden some of their faces, but he knew each face. He knew each of those men who were there. The temple guards who had come, along with the detachment of Roman soldiers. He knew them. He knew who each of their parents were. He knew each of their grandparents were. He could have traced every Jew back to Abraham, or every Roman there back to Noah. He knew exactly how they had gotten there and their family history, all of it. He was their creator. They were his handiwork. And yet they were there to arrest and kill him. Jesus knew. And yet they should have known who he was by what happened next. "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. With three little English words, he knocked this mob of at least 200, maybe even up to 600 people back, and they fell to the ground. This wasn't them giving them some space. No, this was the Almighty God using his almighty powerful word. It's the same powerful word that created the universe. It's the same powerful word that gave that sure hope of a Savior. It's the same powerful word that gave prophecies and fulfilled them, that created faith in hearts throughout the millennia, that made kings and kingdoms rise and fall. So should it be any surprise that when he speaks three simple words, it causes a small mob to fall back to the ground? When that happened, they probably should have thought about what had happened before they got up, don't you think? And yet they ignored it. Jesus had taken off the disguise for a brief moment, and yet they ignored that. What fools! And as foolish as that is, we, his own people, do the same thing. We know Jesus and his powerful word. We know who he is. We've heard it. We believe it. We've heard in his powerful word so many things about him. It's created our faith. It's strengthened our faith over the years. And yet, sometimes we can still take a disguise almost and put it right back on him. Pretend that he's not all that glorious. We don't prioritize that powerful word. A lot of times we take a toy, a relationship, a hobby, a habit over Jesus. It's like putting a disguise right back on him, saying he's not who he says he is. Or sometimes he knocks us back with his powerful word. His word strikes our hearts. It reveals our sins. And we are knocked back and we are humbled just like that mob. And yet we ignore it. We can often either go back to that sin or we can despair over that sin. It's like we put this disguise on what that's trying to do. Or we have this powerful, humbling experience in life, maybe a huge event, and we're knocked back and we fall to the ground. And then it's like we forget that we have this Almighty God there for us. How many times does he have to reveal, "I am he, I am he, I am he," over so many things that he does, and yet we still put that disguise on him and ignore it? The most sobering thing in this account is that there was actually a man with that mob that showed us what happens when you ignore it and ignore it and ignore it. This student of Jesus's, his name was Judas, was with Jesus every day for 3 years. Yet there he was, leading a mob to have him killed. What do you think Jesus could have done with that mob? Oh, with his powerful word, he could have done anything. He could have breathed on them, and they would have been ash. He could have called down legions of angels to do it for him. Humanly speaking, what could he have done? He could have ran. He could have tried to fight back. That's why they brought weapons with him. They were expecting that. And yet, instead, what does he do? Twice, he confirms, I am he. He could have had his disciples put on a disguise and he slipped out of there. But no, he even lets that traitor Judas kiss him to confirm it. He was he. Because that's why he came. So in that moment, he revealed that he was the humble servant. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The one with the humbling word actually humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. We might try to put a disguise on him. We might try to ignore who he is when he says, I am he, I am he, I am he. And yet that still didn't stop him from saying, I am he. And the beauty of that moment, if we just take the disguise off and let the glory shine, is that it even pays for the times when it's not held in its proper esteem. But that's the humble servant. That's the ransom. That's Jesus. Jesus is he. But our Almighty God did not just reveal himself to be the humble servant. He also revealed another role that night. Again, Jesus asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they said. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go. This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me. Imagine that. The man who was being arrested was actually the one giving the orders. And yet here in his words, we see that same care that he always shows. Imagine what that would have been like for the disciples to see their master not just crucified on a cross, but from that moment and on in between, see him beaten, mocked, flogged, spit at, crown of thorns. It would have been very difficult, not just physically for the disciples, but also spiritually. So here by saying, I am he, Jesus is also showing himself to be their faithful shepherd. He, the shepherd, let hardened sinners strike him. And yeah, the sheep were scattered that night, but in order to be saved. And so therefore, he didn't lose one of those that God gave him. Guess what? That promise is for you too. I am he, that is the faithful shepherd. I have not lost one of those you gave me. You are his. You are his, and he will not lose you. He is your faithful shepherd too. Think of how many things work against us in this life. Think of the temptations. Think of the devil that's constantly out to get us. Think of our sinful natures from within us. We've got a lot to work against, and yet he is our faithful shepherd. And he guides us, and he's there to protect us. So we need to take off the disguise and remember who he is. Do you think that you might be on the same path as Judas? Ignoring him to the point of falling away? Take off the disguise then and let Jesus be who he is. He is the faithful shepherd. And a faithful shepherd regularly guides his sheep to waters, peace-filled waters. He does that through his word that you know about, that we've heard tonight, that we'll continue to hear. He does that through friends and family who give us encouraging words. He does that through Bible study and learning. He does that in good times and in bad times. He's there to shepherd you all the way on to eternity, all the way into the Father's arms. He is your faithful shepherd. Three words of truth, three little words, I am He. Big meaning. With those words, Jesus was revealing Himself to be our Almighty God, our humble servant, and our faithful shepherd. God bless you this Lenten journey as you continue to remember those words, I am He. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that the humble servant won, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen. Join together in two stanzas of Amazing Grace. As we give thanks with our offerings. We continue with hymn 113 in the red songbooks, hymn 113, Upon the Cross Extended.
Thank you.
Continue with a prayer for peace as well as the Lord's Prayer. We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Verse 3 of hymn 353. Good evening again. It was a pleasure worshiping with you this evening as we, boy, you just gotta love Lent, right? I mean, you just reflect on how much it cost Jesus, but at the same time it reveals how great his grace truly is. So God be praised for that. Our journey continues on Sunday, of course, at 8 a.m. and 10:45, but also next Wednesday night as well, supper at 5:30, and the service again at 7 p.m. May God bless your Lenten journey to the cross. Please stick around and greet one another.